Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. New data from the Center for Responsible Lending shows that for-profit college students continue to be less likely to graduate than their counterparts at public or private nonprofit institutions. These student borrowers carry more debt regardless of whether they graduate, and they default on that debt at higher rates, often because a for-profit college degree does not provide the anticipated access to higher-paying jobs. Kelly Turno, director of North Carolina Policy at the Center, joined me recently to discuss these findings as well as some of the challenges that continue to confront students at public institutions. Well, Kelly Turno, welcome to News and Views. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
So y'all at Center for Responsible Lending have released a new report, The State of For-Profit Colleges, which has some pretty troubling data about the impact of for-profit colleges and sometimes the lack of impact of for-profit colleges. Can you sort of give us an overview of that?
Absolutely. So our report, The State of For-Profit Colleges, shows that across the nation, for-profit colleges have poor outcomes and disproportionate impacts on low-income students, women, and African-American students.
Which is troubling news. And this disproportionate negative impact, it means basically they're not getting good results, they're not graduating, they're not getting good jobs when they get out, and they're borrowing a lot of money and having a big debt load after they go to school, right?
Absolutely, Rob. And actually, North Carolina has the lowest completion rate in the nation, looking at for-profit colleges, and that rate is at about only 16% of students at for-profit colleges in North Carolina graduate within 6 years. And that's compared to about 56% of students who attend public four-year universities in the state. So that's a great measure for how well we're preparing our students. And that shows how poorly for-profit colleges are doing at actually having good outcomes for students.
Why do we think this is happening? Is it, I suppose it's a combination of reasons. Like, they cost a lot, right?
They
in many instances, just aren't delivering the quality of instruction we might hope they would provide. And from what I've been able to glean, they're also targeting certain communities and sort of, it's almost like they're reeling in people who are especially vulnerable to the come on, the sort of late night TV ads and that kind of stuff. Are those some of the factors we're looking at here?
Exactly. And I want to touch on advertising, which you mentioned. One of the big problems with for-profit schools is that there's no requirement that they spend a certain amount of money on instruction as compared to advertising. And so what we're seeing is that if you're watching TV at night, you're seeing these kind of gut-wrenching ads for particularly single women, heads of households, encouraging them to go back to school, do it for your kids, the targeting of certain populations. And they can do that because they can spend an unlimited amount of revenue on their advertising and also on executive compensation. And in fact, the U.S. Department of Justice, in its investigation of the art institutes, which have recently closed here in North Carolina, the Department of Justice reported that the art institutes were more like call centers than actual places of instruction. And so that's certainly one concern, is the amount of advertising spent at these schools.
Yeah, it's very troubling. And it seems as if we keep falling for this. I mean, it's not like this is a terribly new phenomenon. This has been around for decades in this country. But unfortunately, a lot of these scams that we see in all walks of life where people keep having to relearn this lesson, it's a sad commentary. So obviously, the government could be doing something about this, right? I mean, the federal government, state government, unfortunately, current U.S. Department of Education Secretary Betsy DeVos doesn't seem to be too interested in doing much about the for-profit college problem, right?
That's exactly right. And as we're seeing continued rollbacks at the federal level, the states increasingly have a role and must act in order to protect these students at for-profit colleges. We at Center for Responsible Lending encourage and are working with states to provide more oversight to these for-profit colleges to make sure that students have better outcomes, that their default rates aren't as high as they currently are. We need to reduce those. And we also need to make sure that these schools have good outcomes for employment as well. If you are touting yourself as, you know, training employees of the future, we need to make sure that you're actually doing that.
I want to just emphasize one point we kind of skimmed over, and that's they're actually making the rules at the federal level and the Trump administration weaker than they have been. We've
yes.
had this problem for a long time, but they're actually rolling back the rules that we've had to protect
consumers. Absolutely. They're rolling these back. And so that's just yet another reason that states need to act to make sure that these students are protected.
Okay, so we know some states, maybe New York, maybe Maine, are starting to look at some reforms that could improve things. We'd like to see that in North Carolina, where we have such a terrible record. What would these reforms look like? How could we improve the system so that people could actually get what they pay for?
We need to require that for-profit schools have to report their outcomes to the state and that the state actually does something about schools that have low outcomes, for example, high default rates on their student loans, low employment numbers. And the state needs to do more to make sure that we are looking at these schools, evaluating them, and also that we provide stricter oversight when we're seeing that schools are falling below acceptable levels. And we are currently, there's no mechanism in state law and then also in some of the rules adopted by both the UNC Board of Governors and the North Carolina Office of Community Colleges to make sure that we're providing increased oversight for these schools that are particularly low performing and have the worst outcomes for students. And so that's one thing that we should be doing.
Right. So I mean, we're really just talking about basic information being provided to consumers. We always talk about the genius of the market. Let's let consumers shop for the services that are best. But if they don't have access to that information, it's sort of silly. It puts the lie to the whole notion that there's real choice when you're selecting the school that you might go to.
It's not enough to make sure that students have the information they need, although that's very important too. But the state really needs to take on that role of saying, okay, we're seeing some low outcomes. We need to make sure that these numbers are where they should be and that students are getting the value for the education that they're paying for. And so that onus is really on the state. And I think another thing that we could do is look at why North Carolina community colleges are not providing Title IV federal financial aid to students who attend those schools.
Raise that. We have this wonderful community college system and public university system in North Carolina. We could be doing a lot more to make it affordable for people for whom even the modest tuition that we charge in North Carolina is still cost prohibitive. There's things we could do to make that affordable federal financial aid available, right?
Absolutely. So right now, North Carolina actually has the lowest number of community college attendees who have access to federal financial aid dollars. And that's a huge problem because I think there are probably two really large consequences to that. One is that these students are probably having to take out private federal loans in order to afford going to community college. And, private student loans often have higher interest rates, and they're also not eligible for some of the benefits that student loan borrowers who have federal loans can apply for, including income-based repayment and then some federal loan forgiveness as well. And the other big problem with not having access to federal financial aid dollars at our state community colleges is that we may be inadvertently steering students towards these for-profit schools, because if for-profit schools have access to those federal financial aid dollars and can provide federal financial aid for their students, students are going to go to schools where that's made possible for them. And so we need to do more to make sure that access to our public community college system is where it should be as well, so that students don't feel like they don't have a choice and have to go to these for-profit schools.
It's an incredibly important issue. The name of the report is The State of For-Profit Colleges. ResponsibleLending.org is the website?
Yes, that's right.
Center for Responsible Lending. You go to ResponsibleLending.org and check it out. Thank you, Kelly, very much. We'll do this again soon and hopefully talk about some reforms that the General Assembly is looking at.
Absolutely. I hope so. Thanks, Rob.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, it's Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.